Amen. And you can be seated. We're going to have child dedication. And as the parents, if you'll start making your way and stand right here in front, I just want to talk a little bit about why we do this. Yes, these children are precious. Yes, they look so innocent, don't they? Yes. And the reason we do this is because we recognize this fact. That even though they look innocent, all of us, including them, were born into sin. And all we have to do is let them grow a little while. And parents, you won't have to teach them how to lie because they just will, right? You don't have to teach them how to be greedy because they just will. Mine, mine, mine. And so we understand this, that the flesh that they have, like ours, will cause us to want to run from God. But as parents, they're coming as parents saying, we understand this. But as parents, we are dedicating these children and we're dedicating ourselves to this task, teaching them to follow and love Christ. Because that's not going to just happen naturally. What will happen naturally is they will run from God. They will want to go their own way. But God has given us parents. And these parents that God has given us allows us to learn, to see an example, which we'll talk more about, an example of what it is to be a follower of Christ. And as Paul would say, these children can learn to follow Christ as they learn to follow their parents. Paul said it this way, follow me as I follow Christ. So we have several, and y'all stood all out of order compared to what y'all signed up, okay? So, but that's all right. We'll go down here. I'll just go in the order y'all went down. All right, well, y'all in the middle. That's fine. Jeremy and Kaylee Hendry with Ezra. Can you wait? There you go. We're going to get his pictures in a minute, okay? I promise. I know some of y'all, we're going to get good pictures in a minute because I know y'all came for pictures. Some of y'all didn't even come for Jesus. You came for pictures. God will forgive you, but, okay, there they are. I got to be careful. Your name's so close to my wife's name. If I call you Alyssa, don't be mad, okay? I know. Justin and not Alyssa, but Alyssa. See, I'm trying. Is it close enough? Thank you. I always call you Alyssa, though. All right. And baby Race. He's napping. That I put him to sleep already. Not unlike several people here. They will be asleep before the end of service. So, and they have come also to dedicate. And here we are. I should have told them what order to get in, but it's my fault, okay? Robert and Gracie Kiewit with RJ. Look at that. Y'all need to talk Gracie in. I have this really cool outfit for Halloween. I mean, Fall Festival. We don't do it, okay? Y'all talk her into this little Elvis outfit. So good. Wouldn't it be good? Anyway, she said no, but we're so glad that you're here to dedicate. And Garrett's down here. Y'all are putting my steps in. And this is Garrett Anding. He's coming with three of his children, Mackenzie, David Lane, and Molly. All right. And then we have the West family over here. Roy and Caitlin, and they're coming with Asher. Do what?
He's still asleep.
He's still asleep. And that's okay. Like I said, if I do anything, if y'all have trouble sleeping at night, get a copy of my message, and you'll be like the babies. But these families have come to dedicate themselves to the service of the Lord in raising these children. And they're going to make a vow to God and to the children that they will do this. And church, we have a responsibility in this also. Our responsibility is to be a village, to help raise children up. And so we're going to make a vow not only to God, but to this family, to these families, that we will stand with them as they seek to raise their children to love the Lord. Again, this is a covenant that we are making. And so, church, if you don't want to make this covenant, because it is a serious thing to do, you don't have to answer. So when it gets to the part where the church, where I call on the church to make a covenant, if you will stand with these families to help raise these children to love the Lord, your response would be, we do, because we are a church, one church. We would say we do. If you don't make the commitment, that's fine. Just sit there quietly. We won't know. Okay? All right. So why are we doing this? Because these children are precious to God. Their lives are sacred because they were created in the image of God and have the capacity to have a personal relationship with Jesus. We do recognize they are sinners. And when they come of age, they need to be redeemed from their sins. Just like us, their only hope is Jesus Christ. So as we dedicate these children, it declares that Jesus is the one who can rescue us. Jesus invited the little children to come to him to set an example to show that children also need him. So parents, your vow to your children and to God. Do you here this day recognize your children as gifts of God and give heartfelt thanks to God for this blessing? Do you here this day dedicate your children to the Lord who gave him or her to you? Do you hear the... you're good. I'm glad you're excited. Did you do that when you got married too? I'm just asking. All right. Okay. Do you here this day pledge as parents that you will bring up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord? Do you here this day promise to give your children every possible benefit to love the Lord in your home, in education, and in the church? Do you here this day ask God's blessing upon your children's lives to guide, to guard, and to direct your children through all of their years? If this is your commitment, say we do. Good. Congregation, will you, as members of the Church of God and of this congregation, be faithful to your calling as members of the body of Christ, so that these children and all other children in our midst may grow up in the knowledge and the love of Jesus Christ? If this is your commitment, say we do. Good. Let us pray. Lord Father, I thank you just for this opportunity to dedicate these children. As we've seen in Scripture, Lord, this dedication of children is something that is serious, it's sacred. Lord, children are full of joy. It brings us joy to see children. It brings us to a place where we can laugh because children just have that happiness or bring that happiness to our lives. Lord, Father, I pray that you would continue in this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And before you sit down, we will all want to give you a Bible. Now, they're all out of order, so Brandon, tell me who's first, and we're going to give you the baby their first Bible or the child their first Bible, and we're going to take a picture, so y'all hang with us, okay? All right. Ezra's first. Ezra. This is our gift to you as a church. Ezra is your first Bible, and Brandon, you got to turn this way, and we got to take a step this way. Anybody want a picture? This is where the family is. They're getting everything ready. No picture? No? Yeah, there it comes. All right. All right, good deal. I either make babies sleep or cry. I'm never in between.
Race.
There. Come on. It's our gift to you, Race, your first Bible. Oh, wait. Step this way. They don't have long enough arms. And pictures are important because it remembers, it reminds us. Have you ever heard the word Ebenezer? Who's next?
Not Ebenezer, RJ.
RJ's next. Ebenezer is a way, it's something that was done. It's an item that will help remind you of the commitments that you've made or what God has done. And so these pictures can be Ebenezers. Man, I got to suck it in right here. Robert, you looking fit, huh? Good deal.
Mackenzie?
Oh, Garrett. All, come on, bring them, all three.
All three. The herd.
He said the herd. He said bring the herd.
Look at Uncle
Jay. Look at here. All right, we want to give each of you a Bible. There you go. And then we can go right here. All right. I think right here. Awesome. Now, at the end of service, I ask that if you take a child out, that's fine, but what we'd like to do at the very end of service, when we do invitation, we're going to ask that the parents and the children, or the parent, bring the children back and just sit on this front row, and here and here, and Brandon, make sure all that's clean, and y'all can sit here. And we want to have an opportunity to pray with you as a church, and so especially our deacons are going to come and pray with you over you as a family at the very end, and so that's going to be a special time. It's a very special time. Children's church, kindergarten through sixth grade. If y'all want to go to children's church, you can head that way. All right. So today, Exodus chapter 2 is where we'll be. And I know some of you are like, the only reason I came was for the baby. I know. I understand. But with that, I'm going to make sure my message goes along with child dedication, because it's important that we hear the Word of God. Now, in Exodus chapter 2, we're going to answer a question, because we're going through a sermon series called You Ask For It. People were able to give their questions, and this is a question that's always asked. Every time we have a sermon series where people were able to ask questions, someone always asks, what is faith? Great question. This is a great question, because the Scripture says it's impossible to please God without faith. And so, this is a good question. This is a way for us to think through and really understand what faith is. And in Exodus chapter 2, we have a story of a baby. And really, it's a baby dedication in a way that we normally probably won't think of it. But it's a day where Moses was dedicated to the Lord. And so let's look at it. It says here in verse 1. A man and a woman from the tribe of Levi got married. She became pregnant and had a son by her husband. She saw that the boy was a fine child, and she hid him for 3 months. Stop. Why did she hide him for 3 months? Because at this time, Egypt were killing the baby boys. And so here, they're going to be hidden away for 3 months so the child won't be killed. Verse 3, after that, she couldn't hide him any longer. So she got a basket, made it out of stems of tall grass. She coated the basket with tar. She placed the child in the basket. Then she put it in the tall grass that grew along the bank of the Nile River. The child's sister wasn't very far away. She wanted to see what would happen to him. Now, we get further insight of what happened this day from Hebrews chapter 11. So we want to look at Hebrews 11, verse 23, to go along with this. It helps us understand what happens, because sometimes we don't understand people's motives. We just know their actions, but we don't understand their motives. But Hebrews 11:23 helps us understand the motive. And 23, it says, Moses' parents had faith. They had what?
Faith.
Good. Moses' parents had
faith.
Good. So they had faith. So they hid him for 3 months after he was born. They saw he was a special child. They were not afraid of the king's command. So here we see the action, we see the motivation behind it, and this is going to help us understand this question, what is faith? In this, we start to understand faith. We're going to see this at the very end, but we're going to go ahead and answer the question at the beginning, and then we're going to answer it again at the end. What is faith? We see right here that faith is belief that leads to action. That faith is trust that leads to action. If there's no action, then there's no faith. There has to be an action to go with your belief, or else you do not have faith. And late other places in the Scripture, it says faith without works is, does anybody know? Dead. Good, girls. Dead. That faith without works is dead, saying that there can't be faith without action. That is a necessary component of faith. And so here, let's walk through it. By faith, Moses' parents hid him. Parents, all of us in here, as we help raise children, if you dedicated your child today, it said, by faith, Moses' parents hid him. And what we see in Hebrews 11 is that they hid him and they weren't afraid of the king's command. That what they wanted to do was hide this child in the safety of who God is. They understood that the child was special, that he was sacred, that this is a life, and so he wanted to hide them. Parents, in faith, you have to hide your children. Now, understand what I'm about to tell you. Later, you're going to let them go, but to start with, you have to hide them. What do you hide them from? You hide them from the world that wants to destroy them. Here in Egypt, they wanted to destroy the child, and so through faith, they hid them from a world that wanted to destroy them, or wanted to destroy him. So get this, okay? Understand this. The world wants to destroy our children. The world wants to take your child and lead that child down a path that is ungodly and ultimately to destruction. I was listening to a sermon the other day, and it just clicked when it made sense for me, is that we see how Satan, the world, is attacking marriages, especially Christian marriages. And you wonder why, because if you're a believer, it doesn't matter if you're married, if you're divorced, if you're a believer, you're a believer. You have a surety. You're going to go to be with Jesus. There's security in that. So why is God attacking marriages in such a hard and motivated way? Well, one, it hurts you. Because no matter where you are and no matter how you've been divorced, any divorce leaves scars. And the reason, and you see it in Scripture, says that God hates divorce. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. God doesn't hate you. He hates divorce. And this is why he hates divorce, because divorce hurts you. And God hates anything that hurts you. And no matter how God has restored and how thankful you are to maybe be remarried to somebody that you're with now, we all have to understand that divorce leaves scars. And so God doesn't want that. But so not only that, but bigger picture, Satan wants to destroy marriages to attack our children.
Amen.
To attack our children. Because not only does divorce hurt you, it hurts those around us that we love. And so Satan is trying as hard as he can to harm, destroy, mislead your children, even if it means destroying you and your marriage to get to them. Now, Let me take a side note. If you're divorced, God loves you. He has a plan for you. He's not done with you. He just hates that you got hurt through the process. It doesn't mean that you don't have a future. It doesn't mean that you don't have a great future. You do. And let's just face it, sometimes we look at people that are divorced and we think we're so much better. Here's the problem. We have sins just as big. We just haven't been caught.
Amen.
I said all that to say this, that the world wants to destroy your children. They'll do anything. The world will do anything to do that. So what do? We hide them. Where do we hide them? We hide them in the Word of God. We hide them in the promises of God. We take and we teach them who Jesus is. We teach them the Word of God. We help them memorize or know the Word of God. Because if you know the Word of God, there's a promise in that. I hide your Word in my heart so that what happens? I may not what? Sin against God. And so we hide them away where the world wants to destroy them. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn you. He said, I come to save you. And not just that, I came not only to give you life, but life more abundantly. He came to give joy, real joy, not this fake joy. The world wants to give you joy and happiness. Did y'all know that? It's sin. Sin's fun, right? Some of you are like, I didn't know I could say that. It's fun. You wouldn't do it if it wasn't fun. Yes? And if it's not fun, you're not doing it right. Yeah? Here's the problem, though. The consequences of the fun that and the joy that the world promises that they bring you, the problem is that the consequence of the joy that you got from sin is destruction.
Amen.
Is really complete destruction, physically, emotionally, spiritually. I often compare it to antifreeze. You know? Y'all watch those shows, Snapped, Wicked Women, Black Widows, whatever. It's that lemon-lime Gatorade you got to stay away from. Because they put that little bit of old, now the new antifreeze not, but they put that old antifreeze in there. Old antifreeze, y'all, it's sweet. Y'all know that? Sweet. Tastes good. On a hot day, you'd probably like a cup or two until it killed you. And that's what sin's like. It's good going down, and then it kills you. It's good going down, and then it kills you. But the joy that Jesus brings is a joy that is everlasting. It's a joy even in the middle of a crisis, even in the middle of a hurt, you still have joy. You're like, how is that? I don't know. I just know it happens. I can't explain it. In fact, it says it's something that surpasses all understanding. I don't know where the peace comes from. I've experienced it. I just know that it's there. I just know I have joy when I shouldn't have joy. And the only way that happens is because it just pours out from my relationship with Him. We hide our children in Him. And after we hide our children in Him, it says, by faith, Moses' parents put him in the river. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. They put him in the river. Where were the Egyptians putting the children that they were killing? In the river. They're putting the baby in the same place the Egyptians are throwing the babies. And in the river, this is where the babies are drowning and where they're being eaten by animals, where it's dangerous. But Moses' parents put him in the river. What we see is parents, we hide them away in the promises of God. We hide them away. But then we also, through faith, have to start letting them go. Even if it's in the place where Satan is destroying everybody else. This is a hard one for us as parents. And this is a process that happens your whole life. You have to let them go. First steps, first you hold them. Some babies hardly ever learn to walk. Y'all won't put them down. Now, poor babies. Their legs never develop very good. And then you got to let them walk a little bit. And you don't want to, though. You don't want them to start walking. And then all of a sudden you kind of do. But then after they start walking, you don't like to watch them walk because you're watching them, you know, and they're wobbling. And you know their head's going to hit the corner of the coffee table. Or are they going to go try to stick something in the light socket? And so once they get mobile, man. And then some of us that you got to let them go that first day of school. Some of your parents, you walk them in, and like you got to walk them into class. You got to see the, they're seniors in high school. Let them do it on their own. Come on. But really, y'all do. Y'all let them. You got to let them go. You got. You're like, but where they're going? People are being destroyed. People are. The world's tearing. I get it. You're right. But we have faith that when we hide them in the Lord and that we hide the Word of God in their heart, that when we start to let them go, even if it's in the dangerous places, that God's going to have His way.
Amen.
Daddies, of daughters, here you are, and some boy's going to come over one day. Some of y'all don't even want to talk about it. It's okay. They're going to come over. You're going to try your best to scare them to death, but you're not going to do a good job at it. And you got to let them go. You got to trust. You're like, but some of these relationships tears people down. Okay, you're putting them in the Nile, but you got to trust where you hid them first. What about when they start to drive? Oh, my goodness. Life 360. I'm glad they didn't have it when I was a kid. But we get a weekly report from one of them. I won't tell you. Finished a 13-mile reckless drive. At first, it would bother us at this point every time. If it's a good drive, we're like, why isn't it reckless this time? But anyway, but you got to let them go. You're like, but when they get their wheels, they go where places they shouldn't go and see people they shouldn't see. But you've got to trust that you hid them in the Lord so that when you put them in the Nile. Our job is to hide them in order to let them go. To hide them in order to let them go. And even more than that, to hide them and to let them go into the Nile. A part I guess I didn't see, but I like verse 4. It says the sister wasn't far behind because she wanted to see what would happen. I'm sure she wasn't going, let's see if he gets eaten by a crocodile. You know, maybe a hippo again. I'm sure that's not what sister's watching to see how the Lord's going to work. What's God going to do in this situation? You're putting him into the dangerous places. And here's what we see in this family. And here's what we must see as a family and as parents. That by faith, Moses' parents trusted God loved Moses more than they did. Parents, you must trust that God loves your child more than you do. So in this place, this means that when you trust God and that you trust that He loves them more. Remember what we said? This faith is a trust that leads to action. We must allow this action to take place. This means if your child one day comes to you and says, I feel called to the mission field, and you're like, oh, that's great. Where are we going? Cancun? Where are we going? Hawaii? Because they need missionaries. I just said that not because they're really bad places, but everywhere needs missionaries, right? And then they come back and say, no, I've been called to Iraq. And you think, I don't know if that's right. Did you pray about that? And in that moment, if God called them to Iraq, you must know that God loves them more than you love them.
Amen.
And he's calling them to a place where his love can best be poured out on them. Now, parents, are you going to worry? Absolutely. God may send them over there to help your prayer life. I don't know. But it would help mine. Anybody with me? You have to trust that everything that happens, because we see in Scripture, if they follow Christ, he says, I work all things together for the good of those who love him. And if you have hidden them in the word, the grace, the faith, if you've hidden them in Christ, if they have made Jesus their boss, no matter what they face, no matter where they've been called, you trust that God loves them more. And no matter what they face, that thing, whatever that thing is, no matter where they're called, that God will work the worst into the best. And as parents, sometimes, listen to what I'm about to tell you, parents, sometimes we try to fix the problem and we just get in the way of God working. And God's like, I love them more than you do. Just sit back and be the daughter here, the sister. Sit back and watch what happens. So in this, what we learn is that faith is trusting God so much that we take an action. Again, if your faith has no action behind it, you don't have faith, you just claim to have faith. In fact, in the southeastern United States, I think we're guilty of this Facebook Christianity. Let me explain this, okay? Facebook Christianity. We like to sit in an armchair, and we like to watch other people do it. We just don't want to do it ourselves. Sometimes we even have right motives. For example, I watch some things on YouTube that you would probably think is very boring. My wife, I watch things about chickens and gardening. She calls it my chicken porn. Okay? It's not really chicken porn. It's just videos about chickens. Let me clarify, okay? Some of y'all, our pastor's really sick. It's just about chickens, okay? I just saw some of your face there. Y'all don't get me off track. But one of the things that I want to do that I've been watching is I want to make a smokehouse. I've got it in my mind because I've been watching all these videos. It's going to be rock. I'm going to get some rock. I'm going to have a rock foundation about 3 foot tall, and then I'm going to build it out of cedar. And then it's going to be a cold smoke, so I'm going to have me a smokestack that goes under the ground for several feet before it enters into the smokehouse. The only problem is I've been watching it for 2 years. Still ain't done it. In fact, my family's fed up with me. All right, why do you keep watching this stuff that you're never going to do? They're tired of me watching it. But here's what we do with Christianity. Here we do with our faith. We come to church, we hear about it, we even say we're going to do it one day, but then we never do.
Amen.
We have a faith, like this YouTube faith, that we have the motive, like, I want to do it. I really want to build a smokehouse. I really want to do it. I've got a plan to do it. I've just never done it. I just keep watching other people do it. We come to church, we really want to do it. We have plans to do it, but we never do anything. We just watch everybody else do it, and then we claim to have faith. And so what we see is that faith is so much more than words, because talk is cheap, is it not? You ever had somebody that could talk a big game? Talk the talk, but they couldn't walk the walk. Yeah? That used to be said in the old days, they wrote a check their butt couldn't cash. Y'all know those people? And they claim they can do something really, really good. And then you get them to come over. Maybe they can fix something. Maybe they can play a game. I don't know. Maybe there's some sport they say they're really good at. And then all of a sudden you get them, let's say they're going to fix something at your house. You get them to come over your house, and they start to fix it. And you're like, well, who is this guy? His talk is cheap. It's when you put feet to your words. This is faith. It's when it's a trust that leads to action. And parents, listen to what I'm about to tell you. Either you can talk about your faith and let your kids watch you talk about faith, and they're going to be like my family when I watch the smokehouse and I'm building, they're going to look at you and they're going to say, why are you wasting all of our time watching these smokehouse videos? Because you're never going to do it. You just keep talking about it. Instead, we must take action. Listen to me, parents. What is faith? Faith is trusting God so much we take action. We must be an example of this, of the faith that we have. We must be an example to our children as they see us live it out. Not just hear us talk about it. Because it's all they do is hear us talk about it, they're going to get tired of it. It's the reason my family makes fun of my chicken videos. I do have some chickens. I don't know why they make fun of those, but anyway. We get a dozen eggs about every other week for about $20 a dozen. But that's why they make fun of my videos, because here I just watch. I just talk about it. I don't ever do anything. There's going to be a day when your kids look at you and they're going to think that Christ is worthless because all you ever did was talk about how good he was, but you never took action. You never did anything with it. I like in the book of James where it describes him. It's talking about James's faith. And the writer says, I saw your faith in your mother, but I first saw it in your grandmother. Wait. I saw it in your mother. And I saw it in your grandmother. It's not, I didn't hear about it. They didn't talk about it. It's, I saw it. This is how we pass on faith from one generation to the next. Through this example, through living it out, not by talking about it. I believe that we've led a generation away from Christ because all we do is talk about it, and they're tired of hearing us talk about it. If it doesn't mean anything to us, if it doesn't cause us to act or move, they're like, it's worthless. Amen. Man, I can't. In my mind's eye, in your imagination, I want you to picture your death. Oh, you're like, whoa, wait a minute. Let's to the funeral, because we all think about our funeral, what people are going to say, right? And as you lay in your casket, what will your kids and grandkids say about you? Are they going to look out at the crowd and they're going to say, he was a hard worker? And if you're a hard worker, your kids are probably going to be hard workers. But listen to me, hard workers don't go to heaven.
Amen.
They may look out and they may say, he loved our mom so much. Listen, if he didn't love Jesus, or if you don't love Jesus more than you love your wife, there's a problem.
Amen.
The preacher may even lie, because that's what preachers do at funerals. He was such a good man. What did Jesus say about good men? He said, no one's good.
Amen.
Which often people say, what happens to a good man if he dies? Does he go to heaven or hell? A good man goes to heaven. Here's the problem. There's no good men. We're all wicked. We've all gone astray. We all have abandoned God. The world may say we're good, but in our hearts we know we have rebelled against our Father, our King of Kings. And we're not good, we're guilty.
Amen.
My prayer is on the day that I lay dead, that I lay in a casket, my kids, and if I have grandkids, that the first thing they say is he loved Jesus.
Amen.
If that happens, that's the win. That's the victory. Not he had a great bank account. Not he worked hard. Not that he was a good person. None of those. Those are all losses. The victory is she loved Jesus. He loved Jesus. That's the win. And then one day, hopefully, like was written about James, they can look and say, the faith that you have, I first saw in your daddy. Or the faith that you have, I saw in your daddy, but I knew your granddaddy and I saw it in him first. And some of you are like, I didn't have that. I didn't have a Christian family. Nobody raised me to have faith. Nobody was an example to me. And maybe you're young and maybe you're just a teenager. Maybe you're younger and you just... this doesn't make sense to me. Here's the truth for you, that God can so work in your life that 50 years from now, 100 years from now, that your children and your grandchildren look back at you and they say, God did a work in a person that had no foundation and gave them a foundation, and the faith that I have, I first saw in my daddy.
Amen.
This is how it works. Church, will we have faith? Trust that leads to action. Will we have something worthy to pass on to the next generation? Or will we have words, traditions, like the Pharisees? Man, what Jesus said about the Pharisees was rough. He said, you go and you find someone and you teach them to be like you, and all you've done is made them twice as fit for hell as you. Can we teach our children and grandchildren faith? Belief, yes, but belief that causes us to have passion, to move, to share the gospel, to tithe, to help teach other people how to live in the mercy and in the grace of God. Can we teach people? Can we teach our children to be colorblind? Can we teach our children how to forgive? Can we teach our children how to share the gospel? These are the things. This is a legacy.
Yes.
Church, I'm going to ask that you would stand, and those who dedicated their children, I'm going to ask if you'll come and sit right here on these two rows here, and I'm going to ask that people would come and pray for you, pray over you, pray for you, and as parents, pray that God would work in that child's life. And y'all can have a seat because people are going to come and pray with you. And right over here, grab that right there. There you go. And my deacons, if you'll make sure you come and pray with them. Lord Father, I thank you that your word is so clear on this. Train up a child in the way they should go. And how do we train them up in the way they should go? By living it out in front of them. We can tell them about our faith, or we can show them our faith. And if all we do is tell them, Lord, it's dead. Lord, let them see a living faith in us. Let them see the faith that we've seen in those who've come before us. The faith of Abraham. As he leaves and he goes, even though he doesn't know where he's going. The faith of Noah. That built an ark. When it never rained. The children of Israel, as they come to the walls of Jericho, and Lord, every time I think about the walls of Jericho, I know there's parents in here whose children are running from you, and they've been praying. Lord, let them keep marching. Because we know that on day two, nothing happened. And on day three, nothing happened. And on day four, nothing happened. And we got parents that are praying. And year one, nothing's happened. And year two, nothing has happened. But Lord, on day seven, Lord, we're looking to day seven. Lord, let us have the faith of David as he stepped onto the battlefield. The faith of Gideon as he has a small army to take on the huge army. The faith of Elijah. The faith of Peter to get out of the boat and walk. Faith of a boy, here's my small lunch. You do with what you want. Let us have the faith of the woman that had the disease of blood. Let me just touch the hem of his garment. Or the Roman general, you say to go here and they go. You just speak the word. Lord, give us faith. Church, for those who want to come and pray with these families, I ask that you would just come and pray with them. If you want to come and pray at the altar, you can come and pray for your own children and grandchildren. Or if you're a child and maybe or you're young and you're the first generation believer and you're like, I just need you to strengthen me so that in the future, my children, my grandchildren, will follow. You come and pray. But whatever it is the Lord would have you do, you respond to him as we sing. So much for this couple. I thank you for the example that they are. And Lord Father, how they minister to their family. And Lord, how they're an example to their whole family.
And Lord Father, I pray that you would continue to give them strength and that you would continue to use them to minister to those around. And Lord Father, you are such a big God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
It's clear to see to arrive there.
Lord Father, I come and I lift this man up to you. Lord Father, I thank you for just the steps that he's been taking to follow you, to be a godly man. Lord, it's hard. I know it's tough. He gets tired. Lord, I pray you would give him strength. You'd give him endurance to seek after you, to follow you, Lord. Lord Father, thank you for what he does. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Love you, brother. Father, I thank you for these two, what they mean to us here at this church. But Father, I thank you for the godly example that they are. And Lord Father, I pray you would strengthen them as parents. And Lord Father, we know that you're going to set an example. They're going to set an example for RJ. And Lord Father, I pray that you will continue to let them minister to me and my family. And Lord Father, thank you for how good they are because you're so good to them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Lord Father, I come to you. I thank you so much for your blessings. Lord Father, I thank you for this family. And I thank you for the steps that they take to be an example for you and their family. And Lord Father, I pray for strength and endurance. And Lord Father, when times are hard, I pray that they will seek after you. And Lord Father, you are so good. Thank you for them being in my lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So y'all sitting on the back row. I just missed y'all until you were doing that. I'm going to pray with y'all before y'all leave, though. Can't even follow the directions. I said the front. Anyway, I'm so glad that y'all are here. Those that are taking up offering, if you'll please come forward, please. If you're visiting with us, thank you so much for being here. If you would like to know more about who we are, if you just stop by the yellow cabinet, they'll let you know who we are, what we do, and we have a card there that you can fill out.
and just so we can get to know you. We also want to give you a free t-shirt. That's our way of saying thank you for coming. Thank you for being our guest. We really do appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for allowing us to pour into your lives. Let's pray. Lord Father, thank you for today. Lord, I ask that you would work. I pray that you would do what only you could do in these lives. Lord, we prayed for these families. And Lord, we know that prayer changes things. Because yes. You say we have not because we ask not, but we ask. So Lord, you told us to continue to pray, to continue to knock on the door. Like this, to knock until you show up. And so, Lord, Father, we ask that in this time, as we not only think about these families, Lord, as we are able to tithe and give back to you some of what you've stewarded us with, Lord, that, Lord, we would be faithful because you're faithful. We would be generous because you're generous. We want to be like you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And Steve, if you will grab a plate and stand by the door right there, just an empty plate. Today, we're going to take a special love offering up for the home that we're building for the couple in Hot Coffee, Taylorsville. It's actually between Hot Coffee and Taylorsville. Let me just give you a little background. They don't attend here, but as the tornadoes came through, the home was destroyed. And so we felt as a church, this is something that we could do, is to help build their home. And so if we build the whole thing, great, but God's been working. We've had donations of different things. We've even started on it. So we got some posts in the ground. I mean, look at there. And we're going to take up a love offering to help buy the supplies. And so if that's something that you feel led to do, please do that. It's going to be about a 600 square foot home with a 5-foot porch on the front. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to also provide the manpower. Here's how we're going to do it. We learned a lesson. When we built the church here, we all of us that could showed up every Saturday, and about 3 months we were all war slam out. So here's what we're going to do. We have four guys. They're going to be foremen. Okay? Roy's one of them. Where you at, Roy? There he is. Joe's one in the back. We also have Dale that's in the first service. And Sean is also Dale from Ohio, and Sean Garrett. So we have four foremen, one for each Saturday of the month. That way you can sign up for a team. We'll work on the house every Saturday, but you only have to show up one Saturday and work for one of these guys. Sound good? So what we need to do is go to the, when you leave here, if it's something you want to do, go sign up at the welcome station where the t-shirts are. Sign up, say you want to help, we'll put you on a team. So excited about this. This is going to be really cool. Go ahead, Brent.